Our summaries this week contain two cases on civil procedure, one from the Arkansas Supreme Court and one from the Arkansas Court of Appeals. In A1 Recovery Towing v. Walther, 2023 Art 34, the Arkansas Supreme Court reversed an order denying a challenge to a tax assessment because the circuit court should have considered the appeal from the administrative ruling de novo. Justice Wynn, in examining Art Code and Section 2818406, phrased the issue as, quote, whether the circuit court properly considered A1's case as if it had been originally brought in that court. By sua sponte affirming DFA's decision, the circuit court essentially granted summary judgment in favor of DFA in the absence of a dispositive motion. In its order, the circuit court made no findings of fact or conclusions of law, so it is unclear on what grounds the circuit court made its ruling. No dispositive motion, motion to dismiss, motion for judgment on the pleadings, or motion for summary judgment was filed. Preparation for trial was ongoing. The parties were completing discovery, and A1 had specifically reserved the right to present additional evidence in its pretrial brief. This court has repeatedly reversed circuit court orders sua sponte disposing of cases on the merits in the absence of dispositive motions. End of quote. The taxpayer's right to contest the assessment is provided by Art Code and Section 2618406C1A. Justice Womack concurred without a separate opinion. A dissent written by Justice Baker replied, quote, I must respectfully dissent from the majority's opinion because I do not agree that the circuit court's order should be reversed and remanded. As stated in A1's brief, A1's argument on appeal is that the circuit court erred in affirming the decision of DFA without affording A1 a trial de novo, which it is entitled to under Art Code and Section 2618406. Rather than addressing the point on appeal as presented, the majority reframes the issue as follows. The issue, then, is not whether the circuit court erred by not giving A1 a full trial, but whether it properly considered A1's case as if it had been originally brought in that court. I disagree with the majority's decision to reframe the issue before us. A1 repeatedly takes the position that the circuit court did not allow A1 to present evidence in support of its claims at a full trial and prematurely affirmed DFA's decision. End of quote. Justices Wood and Webb joined in the dissent. In a companion case, Cenarc Investment Group LLC v. Walther, 2023 Arc 30, Chief Justice Kemp, writing for the majority, reached the same result and explained that the circuit court's entry of judgment for the taxing authority disregarded the mandatory entitlement to a de novo review under the Arkansas Tax Procedure Act, Art Code and Section 2818406. End of decision. In Mullinix v. Mayberry, 2023 Arc App 139, the Arkansas Court of Appeals, in reversing an order that granted attorney's fees, ruled that because there was a final order, the motion for fees had to be served upon the party. Electronic filing with service on the attorney was insufficient. This interpretation follows the reading of Arkansas Rule of Civil Procedure 5B1. Judge Hickson explained, quote, Appellant Michael Sean Mullinix appeals after the Garland County Circuit Court filed an order granting appellee Jennifer Mayberry's motion for attorney's fees and denying appellant's motion to dismiss appellee's motion for attorney's fees. Appellant argues on appeal that the circuit court erred when it granted appellee's motion and denied his motion to dismiss because appellee had failed to serve her motion for attorney's fees on him as required by Arkansas Rule of Civil Procedure 5B1. We agree and reverse. Appellant argues that the circuit court erred when it granted appellee's motion and denied his motion to dismiss because appellee had failed to personally serve her motion for attorney's fee on him instead of his attorney within 14 days of the judgment as required under Arkansas Rule of Civil Procedure 54E and Arkansas Rule of Civil Procedure 5B1. Because it is undisputed that appellee served only appellant's attorney through the court's electronic filing system, and because of the plain and unambiguous language of the rules, we agree with appellant. End of quote. The case arose with a paternity action and an order in 2008 regarding an agreement over custody, child support, and visitation. In 2020, there was a petition to modify them. Quote, Appellee Mayberry asks that the motion be denied and that she be awarded her attorney's fees and any other appropriate relief. After a hearing, the Circuit Court entered an order on December 27, 2021, wherein the court denied appellant's petition regarding custody and visitation, but modified child support in appellee's favor. On January 9, 2022, 13 days after the order was entered, appellee filed a motion for attorney's fees and attached a detailed billing record of the attorney's fees she incurred in the amount of $12,860 and served a copy on appellant's attorney. Appellant subsequently filed a motion to dismiss appellee's motion for attorney's fees on January 12, 2022. Appellant argued that appellee's motion should be dismissed under Arkansas Rule of Civil Procedure 54E and Arkansas Rule of Civil Procedure 5B1. More specifically, appellant argued that Rule 54E required any motion for attorney's fees to be filed and served no later than 14 days after entry of the judgment, and that Rule 5B1 required service to be made on him personally rather than on his attorney because appellee's motion was filed after a final judgment had been entered and the circuit court had continuing jurisdiction. Appellant explained that although appellee filed the motion within 14 days, appellee only served her motion through the electronic filing system on appellant's attorney and not on him personally. Therefore, he argued that because appellee failed to serve the motion on him rather than his attorney, the motion for attorney's fees and costs should be dismissed. End of quote. The Court of Appeals agreed with appellant as a matter of rule interpretation. Quote, In reviewing Rule 5, there is no room for ambiguity, and we are bound to interpret unambiguous rules giving the words their ordinary and usually accepted meaning in common language without resorting to rules of statutory interpretation. According to Rule 5A, every other paper filed subsequent to the complaint shall be served upon each of the parties. According to Subsection B1, whenever service under this rule is required or permitted to be made upon a party, the service shall be upon the attorney. However, for some reason beyond our permitted purview, the rule contains an explicit exception. Rule 5B1 continues and states that where service is made in an action in which a final judgment has been entered and the court has continuing jurisdiction, service shall be made upon the party. Finally, subsection B3 completes the service protocol by further refining service on a party by stating, if a final judgment or decree has been entered and the court has continuing jurisdiction, service upon a party by mail or commercial delivery company shall comply with the requirements of Rule 4G, 1, and 2, respectively. End of quote. Arkansas Rule of Civil Procedure 5 states, A. Service, when required. Except as otherwise provided in these rules, every pleading and every other paper, including all written communications with the court, filed subsequent to the complaint, except one which may be heard ex parte, shall be served upon each of the parties, unless the court orders otherwise because of numerous parties. B. Service, how made. 1. Whenever under this rule or any statute, service is required or permitted to be made upon a party represented by an attorney, the service shall be upon the attorney, except that service shall be upon the party if the court so orders or the action is one in which a final judgment has been entered and the court has continuing jurisdiction. 3. If a final judgment or decree has been entered and the court has continuing jurisdiction, service upon a party by mail or commercial delivery company shall comply with the requirements of Rule 4G1 and 2, respectively. End of quote. End of decision.